From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
I said, oh, no. I don't have the money, hon. So we go in, we pray, oh, God, I don't know what to do. And well, the next day, and here's where you're not going to believe this is absolutely true. The next day, Anna hears our cat at the back door. Meow, meow, meow.
Yes, believe it or not, the Cordero cat did play a part in helping answer one of Pastor Wayne's prayers. You're going to have to stay tuned to hear the rest of the story. Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We all have favorite stories we like to reflect back on, times where God did unusual things to bring the answers to our prayers. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us the value of taking time to think back, to remember what God has done in the past, not just for the sake of being nostalgic, but because it gives us faith to trust Him for the days ahead. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Season of Remembering.
Now, you know why we need to remember or recall the things God has done? It's because Israel always had a tendency to forget the things that God had done. Well, why does God say, when you get into the new land, don't forget? Why do you think God says, remember, remember? In fact, when we celebrate communion, it's all about the Lord saying, remember what I have done for you. Why? Because God wants churches to become this memory lane of what happened in yesteryear? No. Because the good things that God has done in the past, watch this, all of those wonderful miracles and things that He's done, that becomes the faith for the future, because what God has done, He will continue to do. But if you forget what He did yesterday, you won't know what He can do tomorrow. God can do great things where He delivers us from distress and He brings healing and takes us through a financial setback. And we, oh, wow, that's so good. And the next day we forget about it. And then we have a financial problem. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The Lord says, don't you remember what I just did? Oh, yeah, no, I forgot. Sorry, yeah. And the Lord is saying, yeah, you see, it's not just about yesterday. It's about remembering in order that you'll have faith for today and tomorrow. So don't forget. I think one of my favorite stories about quickly forgetting it, these three old ladies about 85 years old were gathering together and they're just bemoaning the fact they're losing their capabilities. And one was saying, oh, I can't see or hear very well at my age. And the second lady bemoans, she says, you know, and I can't remember a thing. I'll go into the kitchen and then as soon as I get into the kitchen, I can't even remember what I went into the kitchen for. And the third lady says, well, thank God I'm healthy and I don't have the problems like you guys do, knock on wood. Hold on, somebody's at the door, I think. But God says, remember what I have done. Would you write in number one, write in your notes, what God has already accomplished gives us confidence for the future. And that's what happened with David. David, the great shepherd, at that time was a young, strapping shepherd boy. Israel was having problems because his giant, Goliath, was facing their future, facing them off with their future. Gonna destroy Israel's future. And everyone was anxious and stressed and filled with fear. And David said, you know, I remember God did something really good in my life. There was a lion that came after me and I nailed him. And then a bear tried to come and I knocked him out. And I figure if God can help me with them, He'll help me with this unbelieving Philistine. So he went to Saul and said, Saul, don't stress out. Don't you worry, because I'll take care of the Philistine. And Saul said, no way, you can't do this. Now watch the confidence David has and how God honored that faith because he remembered what God had done. Let's look at the very top of our notes together and read what it says. Go. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Isn't that great? David said, I know and I have confidence that I will be able to slay giants. Where did he get the confidence to slay giants? Did he take like a seminar downtown at the community center? You know, how to kill big people? No. No, he got it from what? He got it from remembering what God had already done. And because of that, he says, I have faith that God will continue to do it still. That's why he writes in the book of Psalms under number one, let's read Psalm 77. Go. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I will meditate on all your works and muse on all your deeds. What God is great like our God? You see, he's saying, recall the good things in life that God has done for you. The time that he healed you, the time that he brought you back from this financial setback and helped you make it through with a deeper sense of character. Just recently, some of you may have heard the testimony of one of our people, Arnold Takaki, who was near stage 4 in cancer. It was in his kidneys, metastasized into his lungs and other area of his body. So he went up there and they said, the first thing we got to do is take out this kidney because it's just jam-packed with cancer. They went out, took out the kidney and said, now we've got to work on the rest. It has metastasized throughout your body. But you go back to Hawaii and heal from the surgery, and then you come back to UCLA and we're going to dose you with a bunch of radiation and other things. And he came back and people here prayed for him and prayed for him, prayed for him. He went back to UCLA just a few weeks ago to do the rest of the chemotherapy, whatever they were going to do, interleukin. And he went up there and they looked at him, checked him out and said, all the cancer's gone. Go back home. Sent him back home on his birthday. Now, isn't that great? You want to remember those things. You want to put them and seal them inside of your heart. And the things that God has done for you, when you have come up against a wall and God has delivered you. I mean, think of the times that we should be dead today from accidents or near collisions that God either woke us up or something happened and steered. How many of you think in your mind, you know, I should be dead. If it weren't for the Lord, I'd probably be dead today. Raise your hand. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of us. I should be dead 3 or 4 times by now. But God intervened, and I'll never forget that. You know what it does? It gives me faith, not for yesterday, for tomorrow. Because you see, there's still giants lurking in the future, and I'm going to have to face them. And the faith that I will have from what God has already done, I'll have faith for the future. Just like David, from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, I can handle this guy. See, the dad, daddy lion, daddy bear. So I took them. That's what it meant, paw of the lion, paw of the bear. And so, no, I'm just kidding you. You guys got to listen. P-A-W is this part. Rah, rah, rah. Not the father of the lion. But he said, I'll take this lion thing, I'll take this bear thing, and you help me destroy them. I know I can do that giant in. And God blessed his faith. I remember there was a time when we needed $200 by 4 o'clock. We had this guy, he was a Tongan guy. He was building a wall in front of our house. And he said, I'm going to need this money in a week or so. Then he came one day in the morning and said, I need $200 at 4 o'clock. My wife said, I don't think we have it. My husband isn't home. He's at the office. He said, I need it by 4 o'clock. And he left. Oh, no. So Aaron was about 8 years old. She said, Aaron, come, we got to kneel down and pray. Oh, God, we don't have any money. We need 200 by 4 o'clock because this Tongan guy is much bigger than your father. Oh, God. That is a true story. About 2-3 o'clock, a lady drove to our house and said, I was praying and God said, I was supposed to give this to you. I don't know why, but here, gave Anna a check and it was $200. And you know what? She called Aaron over and, Aaron, look, isn't God wonderful? Look at that. And he said, oh, wow, that's so cool. Your father can remain alive now. Now, this next one I'm going to tell you is something I remember, and I am not enlarging this at all. You know, I am not. Because you're going to say, no way. But it's absolutely true. Aaron, when he was about 10, his teeth started going crooked, so we had to buy this retainer. We didn't have that much money, but it was $300 for this retainer. So I bought the first one for him, and he loses it. He plays the skateboarding, and I don't know what happens, and whoo, the thing is gone. And so I have to buy him another $300. Aaron, you can't lose this. He said, oh, sorry, Dad. No, sorry. Just don't lose. That's it. You can't lose it. If you lose this one, I don't have any more $300, you know. So I'll just have to pull all your teeth out. Then it'll be straight all the time in your mind. But you cannot lose this. Don't lose this. Okay. Well, one day, about 3-4 weeks later, he's playing in the backyard and he loses it. Can't find it. I come home. This is a true story now. I'm not exaggerating this. I come home. The car, our car is in the backyard with its lights on at about 8, 9 o'clock. Pitch black. The car lights are on. And I walk around. I thought, what is our car in the backyard with the lights on? Anna and Aaron are looking through the grass. I said, what are you guys doing? She said, he lost his retainer. I said, oh no, $300, another $300. Yeah, he lost. Is that right, Aaron?
Yeah, Dad, you don't get full washes.
Oh no. I said, oh no. I don't have the money, hon. So we go in, we pray, oh God, I don't know what to do. And Aaron, oh God, oh. Well, the next day, and here's where you're not going to believe this is absolutely true. The next day, Anna hears our cat at the back door. Meow, meow, meow. She opens the door. The cat brought the retainer and dropped it at the back door. Absolutely true. You go, no way. You call my wife and ask her. And there was even cat teeth marks on the retainer. And it was right at our door. I thought, this is amazing. My wife called the principal of the school where Aaron is at and said to the principal, just tell Aaron the cat brought the retainer back. The principal said, what? She said, just tell him that. So he's in class, a little kid. So the principal hands him a note. The cat brought your retainer back. But those are memories that I have that you say, you know, when I hit a financial impasse, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, yeah, God used a cat. That's right. If he uses a cat, you know, God send me a cat and God will provide. He has. You remember those things and solidly put them into your memory banks. Why? Because you're going to face giants yet in the future. And you have to remember the lions and the bears and what God has done. And it'll give you faith. See, a lot of times we dwell on the wrong stuff. He says, you must muse on these, meditate on these. We dwell on the wrong things. Oh, I remember what he said. I remember when I blew it. I remember when I tanked in that speech, or I blew it in that class, or I messed up on this business deal, or what that guy did to betray me. We think about all of these and it steals your faith. The Lord doesn't say that. You know what he says? Let's read Philippians 4 right together. Ready? Go. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, what? Dwell on these things. And what? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You know what God is saying? I will attend to your future events with joy when you dwell on these things and practice this. So when you dwell on the wrong stuff, it steals your faith. And what you've done is you've eliminated any atmosphere for the miraculous to take place. But what you need to do is dwell on the right things. And you put these as memories in your life. You say, well, how? What are some of the ways that we can do that? Let me give you one. Very easy. Number one is what you write in your first bullet there. Learn how to build godly traditions. Build godly traditions. Because you see, in our society, our traditions in our families have all but vaporized. They used to eat together and do things together, and every holiday everyone would be there together. But because the family fracture system where we move or military, it's just basically all but vaporized traditions. We understand that. So we've got to work really hard at building certain traditions that are like anchor points, mile markers. So later on when kids stray, they'll remember the mile markers and they'll find a mile marker. Ah, oh, I remember that we used to do this all the time. And from there, find their way back home. But if we don't have any of those mile markers, how are they going to find their way back home when they're drifting? Let me tell you one of the best, because everything is kind of vaporized, but here's one we can keep, and that is this. Would you remember this, that going to church on the weekends is a phenomenal family, godly tradition. Just make that as a tradition. Oh, we get to go. I remember when my kids were growing up, I don't want to go. You go. No, get up. Come on. No, I don't like the preacher. You better like the preacher. Get over here. And we get them there. But you know, it's in the years yet to come that our kids will say, you know, I remember when Dad and Mom were financially struggling and we went to church and God spoke to us and God gave us a word that gave our hearts a lilt. I remember when we were struggling with discouragement and it was in church that God spoke to our family. And all of these things, your sons and daughters over the years, a generation yet to come, will see what God has done and buy into that. And they then will become men and women of faith as well. You see, remembering what God has done in the past isn't just for past memories. It's for present and future faith. And that's why we want to pause and see all the things that God has done and never, never forget those. Build godly traditions. And that's what the Israelites used to do. They used to build altars of stone. When they came out of Egypt, out of slavery, they'd stop in the wilderness and build this huge altar of stone and say, this is to remind us what God just did. Now, generations would pass. Watch this. Let's read what happens in Joshua. Joshua 4, verse 6 and 7. Would you read it with me? Go. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall, you shall tell them what happened and how God delivered us. You see, the things that God did in the past is not just for my current faith, but it may be to teach the next generation yet to come that weren't a part of all of this. Now, is it just for us? Yes and no, it's for us because our remembrances build confidence for the present so that we can tell it to the generations that come after us and for ourselves. But I want you to know this. Let's say you look at that video and you say, you know, I wasn't a part of all of that. I wasn't a part of that. Where do I sit then? Because I don't have those memories. Oh, that's good enough because I saw the video and that's good. Okay. You know, that's really nice when people like myself will come and share with you the things of faith that God has taught me. But those are my experiences. You cannot live off of my faith. My testimonies that I share is to encourage you, impress you, and point you to the one with whom you have to have a first generation faith with. Would you write that in that next bullet? You have to develop a first generation faith with God. And as wonderful as my testimonies might be, or others that come up and give testimony, that's great. That inspires you, it points you to God, it ushers you to the Lord, but you cannot kill the giants in your future based on my faith. Every single person must have a first generation faith. And that happened in with the children of Israel in Egypt. The first generation that saw the miracles of God died. And then it says this, let's read what took place. Go. All from that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the work which he had done for Israel. See, there's going to be another generation, and you cannot live off of my memories or my faith. Every single one of you has to have a first generation faith. Listen, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Which means if you're a son or a daughter, you can't live off of your parents' faith. That's why we say here at New Hope, you got to jump in. Oh, you'll hear someone say, oh man, that was so good that I went on this mission and saw this or that, or I jumped in, I served at New Hope and God taught me this. That's great. But you got to jump in yourself. You can't say, well, they'll do it and I'll just learn from that and that's nice. And no. Everyone has to have a first generation faith with God. So I say, hey, you know, when I got involved in ministry, man, it was so good. God taught me character. Because from sitting in the chairs on Sunday, I learned wonderful things about faith, but I did not incorporate faith yet until I myself jumped in. Now I'm sharing this and I'll say, you know, when I got involved in ministry, I thought everything was going to be like, wow, wonderful and divine. But I forgot we work with fallen people, even in the church. And so we locked horns with somebody. And I was so upset thinking, this is supposed to be a church. How come? You know, I didn't forget that we were supposed to be Christians. I forgot that we were human. And we all have emotions and mistakes and personal trials and struggles that we're trying to work out in our own lives, different stages of maturity. And I locked horns with someone and, you know, was in the midst of that. And now, while I was serving now, and I wanted to quit and bail out, God talked to me, spoke to me, and I learned how to forgive in the midst of serving. Oh, I learned about it in a class. I learned to do it in the midst of serving. Oh, says the other one. Okay, I got it. No, not yet. You jump in now. Because everyone has to develop a first generation faith. I want to inspire you, encourage you, usher you to the Lord. But until you jump in, you won't find the point where you can say, now I believe. You've got to make that faith your own. Some time ago, a lady called me crying, saying, you know, we came to the Lord 5 years ago, and my son who came to church with us, I bought him a nice Bible, a nice cross, and I came home last night, and he threw the Bible in the hallway and threw the cross and said, I don't want it anymore. What do I do? I said, oh, don't worry. You keep living the life that God has for you to live, and you pray for him and encourage him and tell him the stories of your life, but encourage him to jump in. All he's doing is saying, I need my own faith. I can't live off of yours. So help him. Help him to experience the things that God has for him. Well, the neat ending of the story is, this was in Hilo, and the neat ending of the story is this guy came back to the Lord, married a wonderful lady, and they're both serving in ministry today. But you see, all he's saying is, I need to have a faith that's my own. And that's right. And that's why as you remember the things from the past, it gives you confidence, but you jump in and practice them, and it gives you victory for the future. So would you write in your notes here, number two, combining yesterday's confidence with a daily growing competence, which means you jump in and learn the skills of life, it'll assure us of a great future. Yesterday's confidence that builds today's competence, when you get involved, it'll assure us of a great future. Now let's read Psalm 144 in verse 1. Go. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Who trains us? The Lord. Yeah, so would you write three things that we need to do? Number one, the three lines. Remember. Remember what God has done. Don't forget. And then the next bullet, train. He trains my hands for war. God will get me involved today, and I start to train. And then he says this, don't dwell on the things that are bad, because there's going to be some bad things that will take place. But don't dwell on those. Learn from those. What do you dwell on? Things that are good, right, pure, lovely, of good report. Anything be worthy of excellence. Anything be worthy of praise. Let your minds what? Dwell on these things. And when you do or practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. So would you write number three, practice those things of dwelling on the good. And when that happens, this next scripture becomes a promise. Let's read it. Go. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So what is God saying? Remember what I've done, because that's the stuff faith for the future is going to be made out of. But it's not just somebody else's experiences. It has to be your own. So how do you develop your own? Jump in. Learn from these that will give you the assurance that God is at work. It'll give you faith for the present. Jump in and practice. Train. Let God train your hands for war. And that will give you faith for the future. And we'll all have remembrances, and we'll all have a first generation faith. And when the giants loom in the future, we'll have full confidence that we'll take them. Why? Because we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he's able to keep us until that day. So you keep going strong. Never forget what God's done, to always remember that our God is faithful. We'll be right back.
You've just heard a message entitled A Season of Remembering by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.